by the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I am Trevor Sikkema. With me is Benjamin Solek. Were you saying something right there? I didn't hear you. Were you saying something to me?
Stop yelling at me.
Don't say it softly. Say it with your chest.
Stop yelling at me.
I'm trying to get the people hyped up. Look, man, people listen to this podcast in the morning. This is their coffee. This is what wakes them up. This is their energy drink. The podcast is here to uplift them.
Okay,
get them
no
ready
point
for the
in
day.
In the opener there, did you hear can be a caffeine replacement? If this podcast is their energy drink, I'm here to tell them they should probably...
Welcome to the Caffeine Replacement Podcast! Today we're talking edge, guys. We're continuing our combine conversations. We still get every single position before Ben and I head down to Indianapolis to watch these guys all in person for ourselves and give you the scoop on what's going on at the 2020 Scouting Combine. Super excited for that. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year. But before we get down there, we want to make sure that you guys are ready and prepped to see what you're going to see, because that's what the Combine's all about. You got to have the background knowledge before you look at the guys and how they do in the drills, what their measurements are, all kinds of stuff like that. Ben, over the last week and a half or so, 2 weeks maybe, we've been talking about how the Combine matters in different ways for different positions, sometimes even different styles at different positions. When you look at edge rushers, definitely one of the most important positions in the game. It's one that high draft capital gets spent on, and it's one that you got to get right. So when you're going through the draft process, what does the combine mean to you for edge rushers?
So I think my predecessor here, John Ledger, who's now your successor at Pewter Report.
Yeah, funny how that works, huh?
Yeah, the world goes around in circles.
Smallest world.
He actually had this tweet today. He said, I think if there's one thing I've learned about scouting collegiate edge rushers, which John has spent a lot of time on edges, is that you have to scout traits. You have to. Reality is that the vast majority of college offensive tackles are terrible, and jump to the NFL is huge in terms of competition.
Definitely.
Traits are so vital to the eval, which... the best way, like, traits are visible on film, and we should not use athleticism as a replacement for viewing traits on film, nor as a hard and fast signal of traits on film. As we know, play speed isn't always time speed, and play explosiveness is only timed explosiveness and strength, and so on and so forth. But in the same mold in which the combine, I think, matters a fair bit to defensive linemen on the interior, the combine certainly matters to edges who are on the outside.
Yeah, same kind of family.
Right. If you are if you cannot be an offensive tackle with your first step, i.e. explosiveness,
yes,
or on your third step, which is where I would say, like, you know, we start to initiate bend.
Yes.
Technically a really, really sound player in order for me to put a high value on you, in order for me to put you as a top guy. So I'll put it to you this way. Do you have to be a good athlete to be a good edge in the NFL? I wouldn't frame it like that. I would frame it as if you're an average athlete, it's prohibitive to me putting a top grade on you at the position. So I won't grade edges highly who are average athletes. I just don't think that they're going to be able to be worthy of that value at the NFL level. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I definitely see what you're saying. You've got to at least be able to show a ceiling, at least when it comes to spending high draft capital on the edge rushing position, because this is a position where, and this is not always the case, you know, not all 11, well, it's not exactly 11, but not all of the positions are equal in terms of what you get in terms of return on investment when you make a high draft pick on them. Edge rusher is one of them. Edge rushers are one of those players where when you think about it like this, the ball is snapped, and within 2 to 3 seconds, you can end the play yourself. You can end that play by yourself for the team. When you think about defense, a lot of it, it's about being cohesive, right? It's a lot of chemistry. It's this unit working with this unit, coverage with pass rush, linebackers in the right spots, you know, having some chemistry in zone of spacing of where guys are lined up next to. It's a lot of different stuff that works at once, and I'm not saying that you don't need that at all, but when you have an elite player as an edge rusher, they can be a game wrecker. They can almost be a single player game wrecker and just a true X factor in everything that happens. Even if maybe it's just a couple of plays a game, those couple of plays could be the difference to what turns out into a win instead of a loss. So, with that said, the kind of guys that you're looking for, even the most technically sound pass rushers, if you don't have the athletic ceiling, it's so hard to make it worth it for me to draft you high.
I agree completely, right? And I think that, but like, in terms of, like, let's look at the broad jump, right? Explosiveness forward through the hips, neutral set, boom. Offensive linemen, like, are very rarely in that position. They are when they're firing off the ball in the running game, but like in terms of pass protection, which is the more valuable trait, isn't a part of their athletic movement at the snap. You say, oh, wide receivers. Wide receivers are very rarely just immediately stemming forward with nothing in their way. That's a regular at the NFL level. Usually you have to work for redirection outside of press, which means your lateral agility is important. And then obviously you do get to vertical explosiveness. It's there for wide receivers. I'm not going to take it away. Running backs, how often are you straight line, completely down the field, no redirection whatsoever, no maintaining velocity through angles, making players misses, adjusting your speed to help break angles and manipulate second level defenders. There's a lot more nuance in that. When you put an edge outside of a tackle, he's going straight forward with that first step as fast as he can off the ball every snap. It's his job. So we really, like, it's in my opinion, a lot easier to take a drill like the broad or the vert and directly translate that into the activity on the field for an edge rusher. You get a 10-yard split. Obviously, they're not really running 10 yards straight down the field, but coming out of a three-point sprinter stance and being hot and low out of the chute and then reaching an explosive speed such as to make that time short, that's very translatable to what I want my smaller, shiftier, explosive rushers to do on the outside. So I think edge, when we talk about why does the combine matter, and it really seems like positive athletic traits project really nicely to the league, it's because I can excise the moments, the physical move of the combine, and then put it on film and show you where the exact physical motion is translating. And that, I think, is a really good way for fundamentally understanding why this is so important when it comes to your edge rusher and his ability to get off the ball, or watching him run a three cone and then showing you how he has to take a tight corner around an offensive tackle, right? And there's a discrepancy there because you're not fighting pressure with pressure and using an offensive tackle, leaning against him and working around him. But still, there's a lot of very analogous athletic movements from the combine to the actual on-field play of edges. And so that's why when we talk about valuing these elite guys, you need to be able to see them do it on the field in no pads, just working against air, because those physical traits and those movements have to show up in their game as well.
No, I agree with the profile of saying that this weekend, or this week, if you will, with the combine, it's a lot more one-on-one for edge rushers than it is for other positions. Sometimes it's tough to see what you see in the underwear Olympics out there on the field once the pads come on. For edge rushers, it's not nearly as hard. You can see a lot of that stuff with a lot of these guys, including some of the on-field drills, where they're just moving around. You get to see how fluid they are, how flexible they might be, depending on what drills they're doing. Let's talk about these top guys, these guys that are going to be Indianapolis and what you might expect to see from them. Chase Young, right? We think that Chase Young's floor is absolutely number three, right? I mean, the ceiling's probably number two, but that's about as small of a range as you could talk about with a top five player. He's listed at 6'5", 265, much more of a hand-in-the-dirt player. We know that, man, I think that just over the last couple of years, we see a lot of these smaller two-point stance edge rushers do a lot better, right? Because their whole job as how they attack the pocket is based much more off speed than it is anything else. Sometimes they're even situational rushers. So we get a lot of these combine freaks that do these things well, and it makes these 4-3 defensive ends, or just these traditional hand-in-the-dirt guys, look a little worse perception-wise. I don't think Chase Young's going to come in here and blow out a lot of these numbers, but that's not going to change my perspective of him or what I've seen from him do on the field. I mean, what do you think that is going to happen with Chase Young when we get into combine weekend?
Well, I think he's going to be really, really freaking good. And I think if he's not out here, breaking the three cone record, dude's 265.
Yeah.
And when we talk about this edge class, Kalon Jason, maybe the second best edge in this group.
Yeah. Are you? I didn't know. I didn't know if that was an open ended question to me. I would say that he is. Yeah.
Yeah. No. So like, it's him and Epinesa. Potentially 20 to 15 pounds is inferior, right? If we have Zach Bond and Josh Uche out there testing his edges, and I think Uche is going to rip up the three cone.
Yeah.
20-25 pounds is inferior, right? So for Chase Young at 265, you're not looking for him to run a sub seven, right? I mean, what did Bosa run? Like, Nick Bosa was, Bosa came in at 266 and his three cone was like, I think 7'1", right? 81st percentile three cone at 266. We're chilling, right? And that's
big,
that's for defensive big line. Chilling. That's not specifically for edge. Bosa's grouping is defensive line on what I'm looking at mock draftable right now.
Yeah.
But it's to say, right, like if he comes out and he runs seven lows, it's a great day in the office. Because, you know, a 265 guy's not going to take the same corner as a 240 guy takes. And that's the reality. So when and this is a good way for us to take and really look into what tests mean what when it comes to the edge class. Well, if you're putting Josh Uche at 6'1", 240, Yetur Gross-Matos at 6'5", 265, AJ Epinesa at 6'6", 280, and somebody else, Alex Highsmith at 6'5", 240. You're putting these guys through different... If you're understanding them through the same lens, you're making a mistake.
Yes,
100%. Because the way that they win in the NFL will be conditional on their body typing, because that affects how they get aligned. And so Epinesa does not have the same strengths as Alex Highsmith, who's not the same strength as Josh Uche. And so for Uche, it's critical he's got a good three cone, because if this dude's winning on the edge as a permanent edge rusher, it's with the ability to duck underneath punches, reduce surface area, and then bend tight corners, which is what it seems like he does on film really well. So he's got to have a good three cone. If he doesn't, it's highly concerning. Whereas if AJ Epinesa comes through and runs a 7.3 at 280,
mm-hmm.
Okay, he's going through guys anyway in the first place. It's not that it doesn't affect it as much. A better three cone is obviously good for an edge. It's like we established earlier. But it's to say body typing is critical. We talked about this in the wide receiver position. When the weights and the height fluctuate so much, you know, slots versus outside guys, here big edges versus small edges, you have to understand, man. Like you can't be putting these guys in the same filter system, because they're going to look bad when they really aren't.
So with that being said, let's divide these guys up a little bit. I'll go 255. Should I go to 55? I'm going to say 255 and under. Who do you think is going to impress you the most? So that includes guys like Kalavon Chaisson, Josh Uche is in there, Zach Bond is in there. I'm scrolling down to see... is anybody else super athletic? Trayvon Hill's probably in there, although I don't really know what he's going to weigh. Carter Coughlin, people have talked about him. He's like near the 240s. That's about it. Michael Divinity, he's in there as well.
Is Divinity invited?
Oh, was he not invited?
I can't remember. Like, he had the super weird season, his last season in LSU. I'll tell you right now, I think Chaisson is an unbelievable athlete.
I don't think Divinity's think there, by the way. I don't think Divinity's okay. there.
I think Chaisson's going to be obnoxious. I think Chaisson's going to be rude. Like, I think he's going to test, and I'm going to be upset by how good he tests.
I mean, I think, yeah, I think Chaisson's going to be right. Awesome. I'm super looking forward to Josh Uche just because of how explosive he was before.
Right now, they have Chaisson as linebacker on NFL.com, obviously, as we talked about. Podcast. They haven't really put anybody in edge yet. I'd imagine they put he's got a few pounds on Bond and Uche, who are, you know, guys mm-hmm. who had to split time at the Senior Bowl.
Are they gonna put Bond and Uche with the pure linebacker guys?
They played edge in the NFL level. Neither of them, or they played edge at the college level. And 240. I mean, these are not Kenneth Murray's. You know what I mean? They're super bendy dudes. They're good rushers. Right, like if they were like 240 and bad, Carter Coughlin, then I would say, yeah, put him in the linebacker, see what you can do both. Maybe they'll ask him to do both days.
I feel like they asked Zach Bond to do a ton of linebacker stuff at the Senior Bowl. No?
Yeah.
I feel like he did. I feel like he did a lot of linebacker stuff. And I actually think that his best tape is at edge, though. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think both are edges, and I think both are going to drop occasionally in the NFL. I think both will occasionally be asked to do off-ball things, so if you want to put them through the linebacker drills, fine, but they have to be listed as edges. Like, when they get their little spandex suits, they got to have edge on it. Otherwise, it's unreasonable. Regardless, in the 250, the 260 subgroup, Kalavon Chasen, I think, has the ability to just... Like, I don't think there's going to be a drill in which he performs poorly. Kid looks like he was sculpted into a lab.
I'm with you. I
think particularly his jumps are going to be something else, because when he gets off the line, when he's right, I mean, the ground he eats up is unkind, right? Like, it's really impressive stuff. So Chasen's the guy who I think is going to test his way into, all right, this guy was maybe a first rounder, and oh, there's production issues. Oh, I'm not sure. Maybe he's boom or bust. You're going to see his athletic ability and go, we can't not gamble on the dude. Because traits like this are, mm-hmm. There's one dude in the class who has them. So I think Chasen's that guy.
What do you think of Okwara? Do you have a beat on him?
Well, I remember when we talked about Okwara summer. Maybe it was more recently, but I feel like it was one of my things I said about him.
It was
like,
summer.
Right. I feel like he can bend, but not like amazingly. And I think he can get off the ball, but like not amazingly. And I think he's like decently quick in the open field, but it's not amazing. So I don't think he's going to be a bad athlete. I think that the Okwara round one shine, which I was never super on board on in the summer, has fallen away enough to the point where, like, when he tests average, you won't be like, oh no, big stock dropping for Okwara. Cause I don't think anybody thinks that he's going to be that round one guy anymore. At least they shouldn't, because the film wasn't there, and I don't think the athletic ability is going to be uniquely good.
I don't either. Man, I was big on Okwara this summer.
Yeah.
All right, what about the thick boys? What about guys with a little more girth to them? What about, like, the Chase Youngs, the A.J. Epinesas? Man, he's 280. That's wild. I'll even throw, like, Terrell Lewis, Curtis Weaver in there, John Grenard, Jabari Zuniga. What's Kenny Willick's weight? Nah, he weighs less than
like
that.
Like 252.
Khalid Kareem, he's in there as well.
Oh, I hope Khalid's healthy so you can test. I like him. I'll start with this, because I was talking with Joe about this yesterday. And I don't know, Trevor, if you've heard, we have this expert forum on TDN Premium. You heard of this?
I haven't. Can you explain it to me?
So it's an exclusive Slack office with multiple 2020 prospect talk and combine predictions and mock drafts running. It's exclusive to premium members. If you want to sign up, you can do it on the site, thedraftnetwork.com/TDN-premium. $9.99 per month, $29.99 for the year. Access to trades in the mock draft machine. Access to exclusive portfolio content coming out in March. It's pretty cool. It's whatever. It's no big deal. We were talking about that, actually, because I was talking about how I mocked Epinesa to the Bills.
Yes.
And I was like, I mean, Shaq Lawson came in at 269, nice. And I think that Epinesa is going to come into the combine around 270 lows. And Joe was like, I think he's in the 280s, which obviously he's listed 280s. I think Epinesa is going to come in smaller and thinner, not as heavy.
I think you're right.
Because nobody's out here being like, is Epinesa strong enough for the position? Like, have you watched the dude play?
Right.
So that's not a doubt. So the best thing you can do if I were his agent, be like, the best thing you can do is test with better agilities and explosiveness than people anticipate, which the thing that's going to help you is leaning out.
What do you think that he's going to show up at? Okay, so I always got him listed at 280. What do you think he played at?
I think he should play.
What do you think he played at? Yes.
275, 280.
You're right.
If anything, he was on the low side. But
he was 276.
Right. I would tell him, listen, come in at 270. That would be my target weight for him. Come in at 270. No one's going to be like, oh, is Epinesa smaller or thinner than we thought? You're still going to be nicely cut. You're going to have good definition. You're going to look great on the hoof. But then you're going to hopefully cutting that weight will make you a little bit more explosive in the jumps, which will be a big deal for Epinesa, because Epinesa is not the most explosive dude, and he is not the most agile dude. And I can say that because the corollary is, but the power and the technique and the footwork with which he rushes really has me feeling good about his pro projection. I just need him to be baseline, not awful, right? And I said, in order for me to draft you early, I can't have you being a poor athlete at the edge position.
Right.
I think Epinesa, compared to other 270-pound, if that's what he comes in at, edges, is going to be a great athlete. And that's the thing is, like, we forget this because Epinesa's contemporaries in this class are Chase Young, who's a absolute freak in terms of his athletic ability at any size, right? And Keylamon Chaisson, whose whole game is predicated on his athletic ability. I think we forget that Epinesa is a really quality athlete. Dude was, like, dunking in high school. You know what I mean? Like, he's an explosive dude.
Oh, I mean, so was I, but, you know.
Yeah, obviously, we were all dunking in high school. I just thought I would mention that as a fun fact. He's among, like, other 275-pound edges. He's going to be a good athlete, and I'm going to feel very comfortable with him at that size doing that thing.
I would agree. I think that Epinesa is the number one case this year of you have to understand why you like this guy in the first place before you go to the combine. That's what you need to do because you'll get a bunch of the weight-adjusted numbers, but as we've often seen, not just with the combine, but this is just a general thing that happens in media, like the first thing that gets reported or the first wave of perception is often just like what sticks with people. So if Epinesa is even, like you just said there, fine. Like if he is just fine, if he puts up fine numbers, then that shouldn't be a big deal. But there are going to be so many players that have better numbers than him at the combine. But you have to remember why you liked AJ Epinesa, and that was because of his size. And knowing that he's going to sacrifice a little bit of numbers
here. Right. This is why we say you got to watch film before you watch the combine, because you need to be able to understand how a dude wins before you say these tests matter.
Yes.
Right? Because, like, so I'm scrolling through some, like, you know, 260-plus-pound edges right now, right? Like, Emmanuel Ogba came in at 6'4", 273, right? And he ran a 4.63, which is, like, awesome. He ran a 1.58 10-yard, which is great for the position. Vertical jump, 35.5. Broad jump, 121. So 10-1. I don't think Epinesa is going to be that fast, but I think Epinesa could hit those jumps. I really do. Like, I don't... I think he could very reasonably jump 34 and jump 9-10. And then what are, like, oh, wow, like, you know, he's a foot less than Chase, and who cares? He's 25-30 pounds heavier.
I was going to say,
He's like
a fifth of an extra human than Chase on is.
Right, so I think that, like, if we're putting up, and, like, Ogba came in and was a good athlete, right? And so this, like, you know, obviously he ends up going in round three or whatever, but even like Matt Judon, 275, ran like a 4.73, broad jumped, 9.9. Is that 9.9? No, it's not.
I'm not good at super math on the fly.
Yep. But yeah, he had a good vert, good 40.
I was told there would be no math. Cone.
You know what I mean? Like, be Matt Judon. Matt Judon's successful in the NFL rushing as a 270-plus guy from like a 2-point stance. You know what I mean? Like, just don't be prohibitively bad as an athlete, and I will sleep just fine grading you out as a first-round edge. No problem.
Who's going to be a guy? So I feel like we know what's going to happen. Somebody's going to put up some crazy numbers, but they're not going to be able to get the kind of production that you wish they would, right? Because we all focus so much on checking the athletic ceiling box of these edge rushers. I mean, Jordan Willis a couple of years ago, I've got his mock draftable up here. We're looking at 40-yard dash, vertical jump, broad jump, three-cone drill, all of them in the 90th percentile. He ran a 4.53, jumped 39 inches, broad 125, three-cone drill 6.85 as a 6'4", 250-pound dude.
Is that good?
That's insane. That's insane. And yet, obviously situations matter a lot, but here he is, 3 years into his career, played with Cincinnati for 2 years, was on the New York Jets last year. He's got 3 sacks to his career. Like, he's got 3 sacks to his name. Okay, is there a guy in this class that you can look at that maybe might be at the combine at the edge position that you go, you know what, he might test really well, but it's going to be a little bit of buyer beware with him. He's like, it's not all put together. It doesn't always show up on film. Is there a player that you see that might be happening to?
You given how we've talked about players, you should know who this is for me.
Who's going to test really well?
Who's going to test well, who I think is lying to you in terms of his on-field ability?
Yeter Gross-Matos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't. I mean, like, I'm there on the ceiling. I will not argue with anyone that his ceiling is super high. I just think the floor is through the floor, not a sentence. And I don't think he's near the ceiling. Like, I don't think, oh, and a year of NFL coaching and we're good. I think it's, no, multiple years of NFL coaching, and you're going to have to give him starting experience. You have to get him on the field, right? You can't, like bench him and try to develop him there and iron out some of the stuff. You're going to have to give him playing time. So I think it's going to be a guy where you put him out there in year one reps. You really don't get a lot out of him. Do you want to be spending a first-round pick on that dude? I do not. And so it's tough for me to grade him there, and I grade him even lower than there because, I think the floor is really low. He's going to come out, and he's going to run a nice 40.
Yeah, especially if he comes in at, like, that 6'5", 265, like he's listed as. And well, dude, right. And the man is thick. Like, I'm skeptical on a lot of weight numbers that schools put out there for these guys. I'm not really downing it with Yeter. I'm not. Dude looks huge. Dude looks like a tank.
Yeah, so he's nice density for a guy of his length, but his stride length is really where he gets a lot of his height. Like, his inseam is really big. And so that dude, when he gets to the flying 20, is going to eat up ground, right? So that's going to be big. So he's going to run a really nice 40, at which point we're all going to remember, I'm sure, that the flying 20 really doesn't mean anything for edges, and the 10-yard split is more important. I don't think his 10-yard is going to be amazing because of the aforementioned stride length, but his jumps are going to be bananas. And then I think three-cone-wise, he should be fine because he does have good flexibility for a big dude. So the 40 is going to get people lit. Is that what lit? People get lit?
People do get lit. Yeah. I don't know if you're using it in the exact right term there, but I appreciate you trying. I really do.
The 40 is going to get people excited.
Okay.
It really shouldn't. I think the jumps are going to be where people really should hang their hats on Gross-Matos. I'll be interested to see the 10. And I think the 3-cone will be solid for a guy of his size.
Three guys that I'm really just looking forward to seeing because I'm not going to – I just have high hopes that they could perform well. Terrell Lewis, the Alabama linebacker or outside linebacker, pass rusher, whatever you want to call him. I was super high on him coming in the Senior Bowl. I thought he did really well on that second and third day, so he really started to come into his own. Boy, that was a dude with a lot of confidence. I was listening to him talk at his combine, and he's like – yeah, I'm a top five player in this class, absolutely. And I know that you're supposed to kind of like say that, but the way that he presented that, I was like, oh damn, like he really believes that. Like that's not just his agent telling him to tell people he thinks he's a top five pick. So obviously this is a guy who's got a lot of injury history to him. You don't love that, but I loved a lot of what I saw on the field. I'm super interested to see how he tests. Darrell Taylor's another one from Tennessee, and then Jabari Zuniga. Those are the three guys that I'm looking forward to seeing at the combine because I think that they could have high-ish athletic profiles, especially for their weight-adjusted stuff. So I'm really looking forward to those three. Is there anybody maybe that we didn't get to that you'd like to just mention, give a shout-out to, that you're really keeping an eye on from the edge rush group before we get out of here?
So the two players who we've really said, like their entire stock right now in the edge class is predicated on their athleticism is Terrell Lewis out of Bama and then Darrell Taylor out of Tennessee.
Yeah.
Darrell Taylor better come through and test out his mind.
That's why I'm very excited to see these dudes and see what they put up.
Right. And then Lewis, obviously medical rechecks are probably the most important part of the week for him. But also, like, especially if you're going to claim to be healthy, you got to show the same athletic showing healthy five-star a couple years ago for me to be like, all right, this kid's fully back. I can make something out of him. I am one really good week in Indy away from like fully planting my flag on John Grenard Island.
I mean, you could plant it now, brother, if you want.
The thing is, like, I have a good film grade on him from what I'm seeing from other boards, which I try not to spend too much time, you know, being obsessed with looking at people's other boards because you don't want it to skew your perspective of the class. But from what I've seen, I think I'm higher on Grenard than a lot of people. I think he's going to test well. Like, I think he's overall a good athlete. And when I read people who are not as high on Grenard, it's because I think they're lower on his athletic ability. So I just need him to give me a good combine, which I think he's going to give me,
mm-hmm.
such that I can say, yeah, that's what I saw in film, and I feel really comfortable with this grade. So Grenard's a guy who I'm either going back and watching three more games, or I'm shouting from the rooftops the second he runs a 7-1-2. We're good.
I like John Grenard, man. I really do. And it's funny because I didn't think that I was going to like him coming into this year. Obviously a Gator, so I watched all of his games this season. I did not think that he was going to be that big of a difference maker. People talked about him coming into Florida, and I was just like, okay, yeah, I get it. He's reuniting with Grantham, the defensive coordinator. Like, he played well at Louisville, but Louisville also has no one else, so as long as you don't really, well, right now, as long as you don't suck in the defensive line, you're probably going to clean up a lot of the stats if there is any. He's good. He's really good. I like his film a lot, and even if he tests maybe not super impressive athletically, which I really do think that he's going to perform well. I think that he is. But even if he doesn't, I'm still going to trust a lot of the film of what I see from him. So, all right. Glad you gave Grenard the shout-out because he deserves one. I feel like we haven't talked about him a ton over the last year or so. We've been focusing on a lot of other guys.
Is Calvin Taylor invited to this event?
No.
He is not.
No? Yeah.
Devastation.
Yeah.
No, he's a retro senior.
Who is?
Calvin Taylor, the Kentucky kid.
Oh, whoa. Okay. I thought you were talking
6'9", 3'10", playing defensive end, nice. Brother.
Nice. Oh, wait. Darrell Taylor didn't get invited either. What?
He's probably with linebackers.
Oh, is he? Hold up.
There's no way they didn't invite Darrell Taylor.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, what? Hold up.
Yeah, he's listed with linebackers.
Okay, thank God. I'm like, y'all cannot do this to me. Y'all cannot. Because he was one of the dudes who was like, all right, combine means a ton. Let's figure it out. If it would have kept him out, I would not have been happy. Speaking of linebackers. Wow, transition. That's where we're going tomorrow on tomorrow's podcast.
I was so easily taken from one day to the next.
Man.
Cradled softly.
You guys, if you're late listening to this podcast, you might as well just click to the next episode. Am I right? I mean, it's that seamless at this point. We're talking linebackers. We're going to get to them. Then Fan Friday at the end of the week. Next week, even though Combine Week starts, we're still going to talk about defensive backs before Ben and I get into a little bit of a game where we're going to draft some of these guys per position, keep score throughout the week, and make a little mini, like a mini betting game out of it. I'm not sure exactly what the criteria is going to be, like how many guys we're going to draft, how we're going to score it. I'm going to think of that over the next couple of days. But Ben and I are going to keep score about how well we predict how well these guys are going to do at the combine. So until all that, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.